You're listening to Sound Study, and this is Shandao with Carlos Colmenares Gil, special edition for the 48-hour membership drive marathon. Take it away. So, Carlos, what are we listening to right now?
Hello, everyone. So we're listening to Son Palenque from Colombia, from San Basilio de Palenque, near the Caribbean coast. And the song is Unje Unje. This is coming from a compilation from 2014, I think, that the Bumpy Soul did. But they've been around since the 80s, right?
And this is a reissue, or this is a new track?
I'm not entirely sure, because I wanted to play this track and I was doing some research for the show, and I don't remember seeing it in any of the old records. So it might be a new track that I included in the compilation, or something that was, you know, like not
super rare or something like that, yeah. Unreleased.
Yeah, what I like is that it has the cumbia, of course, rhythm, but also the, you know, Son Palenque, they're known from being the precursors of champeta and kind of like this, probably one of the, you know, before reggaeton, one of the first like urban like genres in the area, but it's like a cumbia with like an African, West African flavor, right? So I kind of like that.
Yeah, and today we're focusing this special 2023 membership drive show on this conference that we just did on last Thursday, called Afro-Caribbean Soundscapes. It was at UC Irvine, and you organized it along with El Marchante, Osmar
Romero.
And it was really fantastic very focused on the music and the idea. What was the idea? What was the idea of the conference, and kind of what's your connection to Afro-Caribbean soundscapes?
Osmar and I, we were both from Venezuela and were friends there, and then lost contact. And then during the pandemic, I think he sent me and Nora, my partner, some records. And then during the pandemic, he was like, I'm in Southern California. Like, he moved here.
Venezuelans finding each other in Southern California.
So that was pretty weird. So we started to be in touch, and he had this project of Marchante, which is a kind of like a project of archival of Latin American music, but also a record store, right?
They've been on my radio show.
Yes. So we started seeing how we could collaborate, and this idea came up. So let's try to do, you know, you have all of these rare records, like I have some, but you have most of them, and why don't we make like an exhibition, write something about the records, and make an event. And that was, we were gonna do it in November, got delayed because of the UC strike that we were supportive of, and we just did it, and you participated, and it was great, and it was a good reflection. We did a listening session, but also we hung some records in a room, like a sort of like little art show with the record covers. I was really happy with it.
And you just recently got your PhD from UC Irvine in comp lit, and amazingly, you're one of the few people I know immediately got a job as a tenure track professor at Indiana University in comparative literature as well.
Yeah, this is a moment where people on the radio like break the fourth wall and say, like, if you could see me, I'm blushing. I moved to Indiana, but I'm going to be here in LA for the summer, and it was nice to do this in UCI. Where I just finished and like meet the people there. But yeah, I'm in Bloomington. If you're ever around, let me know.
All right. What's the next track you want to play? And the plan for today is for both of us will be playing music and talking about it and encouraging you, our listener, to join DubLab. You can join at the $5 level, the $15 level, the $25 level, and your donations are what makes the programs that you love possible. Go to dublab.com/drive. It's super worth it. There's nothing like it. This radio station has been around since 1999. They have an incredible archive that's hard to fathom, and it's all, you know, it's been going on this long because of people like you and me and us. And that's what DubLab is about. So what's the next track?
Yeah, so we're going to play a longer one. It's called A La E, A La O, by Zaida Machado and Su Parranda El Clavo. They're from Venezuela, again, the Caribbean coast, Barlovento. This is from 2017, but it's kind of like a sort of like homage to all of these all Afro-Venezuelan rhythms.
Okay. la guaca amarilla, guaca redosona, comiendo naranja y también toronja, y también toronja. La guaca amarilla, guaca colora, comiendo guayaba, en el guayaba, en el guayaba, en el guayaba. La guaca amarilla, guaca colora, comiendo naranja, en el naranja, en el naranja, en el naranja.
So, what are we listening to?
Yeah, so this was Betsaida Machado y su parranda El Clavo from Barlovento, Venezuela, specifically from a town called El Clavo. So this was Alae Alao, so Afro-Venezuelan drums, and an interesting, I like the song because it's like a suite with like different drums enter and you can kind of like hear them.
And I was curious about the language because I speak Spanish, but I could understand parts of it, but not all of it. What kind of language is she using, and what's the significance of her using the particular language that she's, choosing to for this song?
Yeah, it's interesting because in the sort of like Afro-Venezuelan culture, something that a lot of people don't know is that differently from like places like Brazil and Cuba, where the like Yoruba influence is wider, in a place like Venezuela, there's like a very, I don't know if balanced, but like a very diverse mix. So you have Yoruba words, you have some words from the Ewa languages, and all other different kind of like reconstruction from the cultural history of blackness in Venezuela. So you have these sort of interjections that come from all of these different languages, and you have these new words that people have created in the area. So, and it's not, you couldn't say it's like a structured language, but you have all of these different terms that people will use in different situations with the music or with the parties and celebrations, etc.
Oh wow! And yeah, I'd be curious. I don't know if you know, but I'd be curious if some of the some of the sounds are also coming from, not just like only from different places in Africa, but also, from Cuba or other, places in the Caribbean as well, where it's kind of like syncretic throughout the region.
It's very possible. I don't know enough to like tell you with 100% certainty, but it's very possible that, because also, of course, there's the history of slavery and the enslaved people in the Americas, but also there's this contemporary history especially in the 19th and 20th century, where there was a lot of movement within the Caribbean, right, and between different groups of people. So that's very possible. Also, Trinidad, for example, Trinidad is a place that in the 20th century, with the oil boom in Venezuela, we had a lot of Trinidadians come in there.
Oh, really? Oh, wow, yeah.
Curaçao is another place as well that some more recent like influence.
And this music was it sounds like it could be from, I don't know, I'm not sure how old the songs are. But this song was recorded recently, correct? By
This is from 2017, and the label is Olindo Records. I think you have.
I had them on Olindo Records on my show.
So it's a very very important record label based in London, like signing different like Venezuelan artists and Latin America. And this is it's a new song, but it's kind of like a sort of like in one song, a little compilation of different drum brings. So you have the Kitty Plus drum, kind of like a set of drums from Venezuela that in itself, like playing them, you're already playing like a polyrhythmic sound. And then you have the Mina drum, the Culo y Puya. So they are kind of, going through all of them and kind of like resembling a party, a celebration, and usually a religious party, San Juan, who is a common party and also in the Americas, and kind of like what the kind of drums and the kind of chants they do in these celebrations.
Isn't San Juan coming up soon?
Yeah, it's I think the 23rd. Forgive me if I'm. I think
In Brazil, they call it Festa Juninas, and people think, oh, Juninas is like June, because Junho, but actually it refers to São João. So it's, you know, honoring the same saint who, in for a lot of people, you know, is kind of syncretized. So he's connected to, I'm not sure which, you know, either Orisha or like different deities, but it's definitely a syncretic holiday throughout Latin America, I would say.
Yeah, and this song we just heard is kind of like the typical music you listen to in the Fiesta de San Juan in Venezuela, right?
And do you know anything about Betsaida Machado, or how old she is, or how, you know?
Yeah, she's young. must be in her 40s or late 30s.
Oh, really? Okay, wow. She has
and
like
and
a kind of
yeah,
old
and
soul voice.
Recently, I mean, recently in the like last decade or so, and it's interesting that they've been. This is not in Venezuela, like when people tell you in school, like our national music, we have this music from the plainlands, which is called joropo or música llanera, and which is the thing that happens with, you know, Afro-American and Afro-Latin culture, that is always hyphenated, right? Like this is not the national. This is like a bit of our folklore, but this is Afro-Venezuelan music, Venezuelan music, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And they've been doing an interesting work of recuperating some of those traditions and also mixing them up a little bit. And they've been, especially with the big Venezuelan diaspora now, they've been touring all over. They've been pretty successful, I would say.
Wonderful. So you're listening to Dublab. Dublab is for you, for me, for us. And what are you going to play next?
Yeah, so what we're, I don't know if we're hearing it in the background a little bit.
Hopefully.
we. This is, I just wanted to include, because my idea with this song I brought is to expand on this exhibition we were talking about that we did at UCI. So I wanted to bring something from Haiti. So this is Racine Mapou Dasso. He, the leader of this group, passed in like less than 10 years ago, also at a young age. But this is religious Haitian music, right? So voodoo music, and this song is called Grand Bois, and Grand Bois is one of the three main deities of the voodoo religion, like spirits, right? One of the three great magicians. And this is a band that was playing religious music, and also like, and this rhythm particularly, I think is Gaga, that is a very fast kind of like, almost like punkish, like Haitian.
I hit. Sorry, not against you, but I hate how everyone is calling things punk nowadays. But that's just my, like, I don't know, cumbia punk allergy. But how is it punkish?
I mean, it's very fast.
Okay, like hardcore or something.
Instead of the sort of like polyrhythmic texture that the previous track had, it has like a more like. It's also very complex musically, but the drumming is very, very straightforward, right?
Yeah.
And it's like you just hear the beats. If you hear like the little bell, you hear the beats. And it's it's basically religious music that in Haiti they call it racine or racine, which is root, right?
Yeah.
But they you know, have their own spelling of it. And it's like root music, right? And this this band, Racine Mapou Dasso, they made it really popular, and also outside of Haiti, so they're really important in that sense. So yeah, hopefully you can, maybe we can listen to a little bit.
Yeah, we can listen to that next. Yeah. All right, thank you so much, and it was really great to be at UCI listening to some other music like this.
C'est la vie, oh, c'est la vie, n'a pas chargé. C'est la vie, oh, c'est la vie, n'a pas chargé. Mon enfant manger.
Woo!
And yeah, this is, I mean, it's more, it's a vibe change. It's more like Latin jazz and kind of like salsa and guaracha in form. And this, well, Osmar, my pal from El Marchante, considered this like a experimental Latin American music. He makes a compelling argument to say like this is experimental music too, because they are. Rafael Cortijo is someone coming from the Puerto Rican folkloric tradition, Bomba and Plena, with this very famous band in the 50s. And in the 70s, he was in this sort of like creative crisis, and he met other musicians, and they started working on these songs. And people from the kind of like salsa establishment who were influenced by him in the past, they were like, this music is like 30 years ahead of its time. And actually, the record started like being noticed recently. So they were right in a way, right? This is a record that no one really like cared about when it came out in the 70s.
Oh, really? And then is Cortijo, like, what was his kind of, how did his music circulate throughout other parts of Latin America beyond Puerto Rico? Was he popular? Was he, you know, being listened to?
He was extremely popular in the 50s, 60s, and he was extremely popular in the 50s, 60s, and beyond. Also, his band, the main singer was Ismael Rivera, who then, you know, on its own right became one of the greatest like salsa singers of all times. So that association was always there. So when people would think of Ismael Rivera, they would think like Cortijo was the one who taught him everything. So in a way, Cortijo is like a father of Latin music, and this is something that all over the Caribbean and Latin America people taught, right?
Okay, so let's listen to the next track that's already started. And we'll talk about it then.
Porque sabes que en el mundo ya no tienes quien se apiade de tus penas. Pobrecito ese ser desdichado de ti. Si yo pudiera salvarte, la vida entera daría por darte paz y alegría.
So, Carlos, what are we listening to now? This is your last track.
Yes, so this is Sonero Clásico del Caribe with Canelita Medina, you know, institution of like Venezuelan salsa. And I just wanted to show you a little bit of this because the rhythm is very traditional Cuban son, right? Son Cubano. And it's interesting that you have this band in the 70s and 80s that it's called Sonero Clásico del Caribe, so the classic singer of the Caribbean, right? And they are doing an homage to the music that for them was already classic, right? Like this music from the 1940s and 50s in Cuba. They just basically were trying to re-record these songs. And Canelita Medina's voice tries to also resemble the voice of these like famous like Cuban singers like Celia Cruz, but also like Selena. And I just think it's interesting that this was already considered a classic in the 70s and 80s, right?
That's amazing, and it's great to hear how the music is circulating and influences are circulating between different places. They're really not bound by nation because that's not how people listen. That's not how people make music.
Correct.
And I will be playing a couple tracks. One of them was the focus of my discussion at the Afro-Caribbean Soundscapes Conference at UC Irvine. And this track is super important to cumbia. This is Supergrupo Colombia, El Pájaro Sin Sontle.
Thank you.
This is, of course, Supergrupo Colombia, El Pájaro Sin Sontle, and this is from their 1980 album, Supergrupo Colombia, self-titled album released on Echo, which is a Mexican label. It's not their first record, but I think it's their first on what you consider like a major label. And the cover is fascinating because it features all eight brothers dressed identically in not only white bell bottoms and white platform, you know, boots, like very like 70s, even though this came out in 1980, you know, cusp of the disco era. It's very strong throughout the world. And they're wearing their sombrero huerteao, which is a Colombian hat, which is kind of iconic of cumbia, you know, on lots of records that were coming from Colombia that arrived in Mexico and kind of circulated throughout Latin America. You could see the artists like Andrés Landero and Alejandro Duran wearing their, you know, their sombreros huerteao. And this is something that, you know, they're sporting, and on the back of the record it says grabado en Colombia, and it says, you know, Discos Peerless offers you a selection of the most pure and authentic cumbia colombiana y costeña in this Supergrupo Colombia record. It was chosen for you with 10 of the best numbers from their repertoire, and the back also features like super extra Colombian things like a machete that is in a leather sheath. It's very decorative looking, beautiful. An accordion, guacharaca, a drum, another sombrero huerteao. They're really insistent on being Colombian. But the fact is, they Supergrupo Colombia is from Mexico City. They are, you know, brothers who are, along with Los Angeles Azules, one of the original cumbia sonidera groups. They're from San Juan de Aragon. Grupo Cual, started by Angel Pedraza. He's the nephew and the son of the group members of Supergrupo Colombia, and he got started in Supergrupo Colombia. So they're one of the first groups that, you know, are playing cumbia sonidera, so cumbia in the style of the sound systems, meaning the sound systems, the DJs would pitch down cumbia from Colombia, from Venezuela, from elsewhere. And Supergrupo Colombia, along with Los Angeles Azules, their style of cumbia is kind of slower than, you know, non-pitched down records, you could say. And that to me is fascinating. And this song, El Pájaro Sin Sontle, he sings about, you know, every morning I listen to the Pájaro Sin Sontle singing on the coasts of my Tierra Sabanera, my savanna land, and in the mountains, the Pava Congona hears her lament, and she, you know, esparce en la ladera, like scatters, flies across the hill. So they're really imagining this utopian place, this utopian Colombia in their music. Other tracks on this album shout out the, you know, Colombians who are walking, dancing with their machetes and drinking their aguardiente while they're dancing. The women who are dancing with their big, you know, skirts, the poyeta skirt with candles. And they're doing this from Mexico City, one of the largest cities, the fourth largest city at the time in the U.S., and imagining this like rural tropical place and really claiming it as their own. So I thought it'd be interesting to maybe kind of like not challenge, but question or like query this theme of the, you know, the conference, which is Afro-Caribbean soundscapes. You know, they're like claiming either to be negro or negra, or like singing about being that, you know, claiming to be Colombian, saying that they recorded the record in Colombia when they didn't, or at least their label said that they did that. And I thought it would be interesting to think about that, like this identification when you don't have, you know, they're not, I wouldn't say like Afro-Mexican, they're not from Veracruz. They don't have those connections to the Caribbean, but it's definitely part of what they're singing about, the style of music they're playing, the style of cumbia they're playing. They're not playing like what you could say like whitened or Europeanized cumbia that is that was popular in Mexico at the time. They're doing something that's more like roots. I don't know. I'm curious to hear what you think, Carlos. I've already talked about this a lot.
Yeah, no, I'm thinking specifically because you're insisted on this idea of the Colombian utopia, right? And it makes me think that the, and also with the songs I was playing, right? Like you asked me a lot about the
I asked you, we're going to do a little mic magic.
So how things would kind of like travel and go beyond the bounds of the nation, right? And in this case, it's interesting that, you know, with Mexico specifically, you know, there's all this myth of the American dream, and there's a Colombian dream in this case, and which is also interesting and also has its problems, right? But it's just a statement of how the Afro-Latin music, but also Latin American music in general, it moves in this sort of like more guerrilla-like ways, right? Like more like underground, and how different subcultures get formed that they don't point to the north, right? They point each other, right? Like they refer to each other, and there's this excess of different references within the region that when we get into the music and we start listening to it, we start to like, I guess, like decodify and unravel. And I think that, well, that's one of the things that I like the most about learning and kind of like discovering new music in Latin America, right?
I like that kind of guerrilla instead of punk might be a better way to do it. It's like regionally appropriate. Sorry. Yeah, so when I was listening to the song, you know, I've heard it a lot. It's something you might listen to on the radio in Los Angeles. It's a popular tune. And Supergrupo Qual does a version of it. Or not Supergrupo. Grupo Qual does a version of it. Probably there's thousands, I would say, versions of El Pájaro Sin Sontle. And I think even though, so the Sinsontle is mockingbird, but I think instead of referencing the mockingbird, like the northern mockingbird from that's in North America, you could hear it in Los Angeles, you could hear it in Mexico City. I think that they're actually singing about a different mockingbird because it's El Pájaro Sinsontle, and it should be Sensontle. Which is a Nahuatl, I think, for like the bird of 400 songs or something like that. And El Pájaro, or the Sinsontle, seems to me to refer to a song by the Colombian artist Abel Antonio Villa in 1968. He had a song called Pájaro Sinsonte, and he sings about his desire to be a Sinsonte so he could sing to his morena and, you know, be able to fly throughout the night from Barranquilla to Cartagena. It's a very beautiful, romantic song. And so in addition to the Sinsontle, the tropical Sinsontle, he's there, Grupo Qual or Super Grupo Colombia. It's all of a part of a dynasty, so it's maybe hard to distinguish. They're also singing about La Pava Congona, which is a bird that Andrés Landero famously sung about. And they're, you know, singing about these places, imagining these, listening every morning to these birds that they wouldn't have heard in their life. Unless they, you know, had been in Colombia. They're definitely not listening to it on the in the mountains or on the coast of the tropical savanna. But this is part of the feeling of cumbia that's being created. So with that, I'm going to play Andrés Landero's La Pava Congona and then talk a little bit about that. La Pava Congona by Andrés Landero. I would say, you know, I don't know. It's hard to choose a favorite song of his, but definitely a beautiful song. And the story that Andrés Landero tells of this song is that, so this song was, La Pava Congona was released in 1972. Andrés Landero is considered the king of the accordion in cumbia and vallenato, I would say, and especially cumbia. And he was from a small village of San Jacinto near the Rio Magdalena. And he recalls how the song came to him. One afternoon, he was, you know, he went up to the mountains with his friends and their girlfriends to hang out and drink rum. And around 5:30 p.m., he says one of his friends left to pick up more rum. So Andres went off to sit alone in the mountain and just kind of hang out by himself. And he remembered that, quote, "I felt a strange noise. Rrr, I felt that noise. I felt a song. Wanto, wanto. I felt other songs. I felt other noises. I felt the pavo congo." And then he whistles. "I saw this spider web that turned gold in the light. That was what most enchanted me." And then when someone called out, "The rum's here," his spell was broken, but the song came to him. And it's sort of interesting to think about how this musician, Landero, you know, imitating bird calls that he heard while he was probably like somewhat tipsy in the mountains of Colombia, became a cumbia and one of Landero's most popular hits. Musicians from Mexico City, you know, imitated him imitating birds, you know, and other musicians in Colombia when they imagine this utopian pastoral life, waking up to bird song, singing to a woman who, and I'm just going to quote some another track from Supergrupo Colombia's album that we listened to earlier, singing to a woman and saying that she is a star, her smile a half moon. There's these mythical characters they sing about, you know, negras dancing with their wide poyeta skirts as they hold candles, men dancing with machetes and their bottles of aguardiente. But of course, Colombia wasn't a utopia in the 1970s or 1980s. And one of the record dealers, Morelos, remembered how when he went to Colombia, you know, to buy records, to find records, it was really tough. He said, "I wouldn't have traveled to Colombia. It was horrible in 1987, the bombs, the lockdowns." And yet, in Mexico City and elsewhere where people were making Colombia, but especially with Supergrupo Colombia, they're imagining this place and maybe identifying with Colombia and with, you know, more like Afro-Caribbean music because they were being kind of marginalized within the city of within Mexico City, or they're, you know, coming from lots of people in Mexico City and in Monterrey and other places, you know, we're coming from the campo, we're coming from different states to work and maybe having some sort of nostalgia for their past lives. And I think that's one of the reasons why cumbia might have resonated with them. And, you know, the more kind of obvious things for them to resonate with them, maybe like ranchera or mariachi or other styles of music, people were choosing to find and listen to this music that was more exotic even, or more like hard to access, and then really making it their own. I don't know what, if you have any things to add.
Yeah, just that it made me think this fascination with the birds and the animals in general, that when you go to the Peruvian cumbia, the chicha, right, like that it's mostly cumbia from the Amazon, right, from the Peruvian Amazon, you have the sound of the monkeys of the Amazon. It's quite like imitated, right, by, you know, people like Los Mirlos, well, and Los Mirlos is already the name of a bird, right, so and Los Wemblis de Iquitos, so they are all the time, like, you know, like imitating the monkeys and the birds of the Amazon, so it's also kind of like this spirit of like seeing nature in a particular way and being inspired by it. It's something that I think is at the backbone of many different expressions of cumbia, right?
I love that. Thank you so much, Carlos, for being on the show. It was super fun. And if you're not already a member, become a member of Dublab, this member. Magical community. Weepy weepy.
Me dijo Mercedes, soy una persona buena, yo que tengo la vida. Soy Yo tengo experiencia, Mercedes, soy profesor. Y por elogiarte por ti soy compositor. Ya verás, Mercedes, tienes vida asegurada. Mucho puedo ser amada. No me lo sigas diciendo. No me entrego ni me vendo. Ado, de rancho salgo casada. Yo te llevo a conocer para la luna y miel, dejamos el Hotel Caribe. Ayer dijiste te quiero, hoy me pides que te olvide. Ayer dijiste te quiero, hoy me pides que te olvide. Después que matas el tigre, Merce, le sale huyendo al cuero.
Sabor, porque ese es un canto negro, porque ese es un canto negro.